is the SB Live Washington Podcast, your weekly conversation about high school sports across the Evergreen State and the people who play them. I'm Andy Bueller, statewide prep supporter with Scorebook Live. With me, as always, the prodigal son of Tacoma. I can see him right here on the Zoom when I say that, the Brooks Koepka eye roll just glazing over him. Todd Millis, senior reporter at SB Live. Todd, no Dan Dickow this week. You can hear him on the ISO over on the Believe Podcast Network. You miss his voice as much as we do. But Todd, how you doing?
Yeah, you know, every time Dickow goes underground on special assignment, it's just kind of weird when it's just the two of us, you know. But I'm doing well. I'm down getting some stuff ready at our ocean property for Memorial Day weekend. We were sort of talking off air. And I know that we recorded this a year ago, but this would be the week of Springfest with the baseball and the track and the softball state championship soccer. And it doesn't make it any less weird that's not going to happen again this spring. I'm glad that high school sports has gone on and it's been a very stressful, condensed but rewarding spring season. But it's still weird, especially when our colleagues down in California, Mississippi, Idaho, they're all doing state championships, and it's. I know it's been weird for you too, just to kind of watch that coverage come through our feed and not have anything to contribute along those lines.
Yeah, it's just. I mean, you know, first off, I'd like to say, I mean, what an amazing marker this year at that 1 year mark of, you know, hey, last year at this time, we're in the early days of the pandemic. The season's canceled. We don't really know what the fall sports season's going to look like, and as we now know. You know, sports were gone for just about a year, and here we are, and there's no state championship weekend. There's no Spring Fest, which is obviously a bummer. It makes some of the stuff we do, taking a look at, top players at each position on the high school stage and different things like that across all sports. It makes it feel a little bit weird. Like you usually think you're building up to something, at least at the high school level. We're not doing that this year. But it's opened up the door for things outside of the high school level to maybe have a little bit of a rise. And that's club football, which it has, I think now probably we can say club football has arrived in the state of Washington. We had this past weekend, the FSP versus Air 11-on-11 padded football scrimmage here in a spring where every sport is happening in a very tight, condensed schedule. We thought we'd put the football season to bed, but no, we've got this football showcase last week with a ton of talent across the state that work in those two training facilities. It was the most packed football game I had been at since the 2019 state title game. You had fireworks, you had hype. Chief Leschi Stadium. And the biggest takeaway from this showcase, I think, has to be that it signals that these two groups, that club football can be here to stay. Todd, what were your takeaways from that game as we witnessed a first of its kind?
Yeah, it was there was a swarm of fans. I don't know if people have been out to Chief Leschi Stadium for a B8 football school. It is a pretty nice little facility, pretty actually spacious for a small school as well. And they filled those grandstands. I mean, I got there an hour before the game, Andy, you were there earlier, and it was already packed. And that surprised me that it was a kind of a sellout that quickly. I had to wait in line just to get into a parking spot. Yeah, there was a ton of interest in this game. And you mentioned this was an all-star game of underclassmen. There were a lot of high-profile recruits from the 2021 class that were there on the sideline. JT Tuamalo, Sam Heward was there.
Paulo Banchero was there.
Yeah, what's that?
Did you see Paulo was there?
Paulo Banchero, yeah. Even from some crossover from different sports. Clay Millen was there. I think there were a lot of people interested to see how this went off between these two training facilities, two high-profile club football groups that are obviously known on the national scene. And as we know, FSP came out on top with that second-half rally, 35-14, and a lot of notable, really fantastic performances.
Yeah, Todd, I want to ask you about this because, we can dive in just to who impressed us at the game. There was a ton of You know, we cover high school sports, and there were a ton of high school sports storylines going on at that game. I mean, you have you go to the website, scorebooklive.com/Washington, and the SB Live Sports app. You can find our complete coverage there. We can get to that in a second, but I do want to ask you this. A lot of chatter whenever these two clubs, particularly whenever FSP does something of note, like they did in the fall with that ID camp when high school football was shut down and had to kind of bend around some corners a little bit to make that happen. But what do you make of this game happening? Some of the backlash from people that feels at this point inevitable. Do you feel like at this point, club football in this state is here to stay?
Yeah, I do. Especially when you have real dominant personalities like Tracy Ford, Reggie Jones, you know, calling the shots. And Tracy, as we know, there hasn't really been a personality in the news quite like Tracy over the past year. You know, he was at the forefront of the SAW group. Like you said, he had his ID combine in Tacoma in the fall. He was one of the organizers of this event. It's just so I don't see that going away. In fact, I think their foothold in high school football is only getting stronger. And I would not be surprised if we see something very soon that this is going to be an annual event. I mean, it was like you alluded to, Andy, it was a huge success, I'm sure, from a money standpoint. So I this thing's coming back. I would bet the farm on it that we're going to see something next year, and it could very well evolve into something that we see on a yearly basis, maybe a home and away. So maybe next year you and I will be up in King County or something watching this game with a whole nother batch of underclassmen recruits.
Yeah, who knows? It's always kind of a fascinating balance to track of how the teeter-totter of the high school game versus the club game slash, you know, 7-on-7 world, which I would file in the same category as what this game was on Sunday. And when high school sports are shut down for, you know, a year, you have a fall football season delayed. And one, you know, rightly, Todd, that you brought up that, you know, those Ford and FSP were really involved in advocating with these student athletes and helping these student athletes use their platforms to advocate for a football season at the state capitol in the fall. And when that didn't happen, they kind of, you know, took that as an opportunity to make events like this happen, like that ID camp. So I think something like this was probably inevitable in a year where high school sports has not looked the same. It will just be interesting to see how it looks going forward. You know, we don't know what the fall is going to look like, if it's going to be a full-fledged return to normalcy. You know, I it's looked like, based on everything from health officials and with the pandemic, that we're probably headed in that direction, but we don't actually know that yet. So we'll be interested to see what happens there. Real quick, I was impressed with a couple of air players. Dempsey James, quarterback, Spanaway Lake. I thought he moved really well. He made some throws. He should have had a long touchdown pass that was dropped. I thought he flushed the pocket really well, evaded the pocket really well. And then Connor Noah, air running back, who I wrote about from Kelso, 2023. He's a sophomore. His sophomore season this spring, Kelso had a little bit of a down year, and he took this as an opportunity to say, hey, I don't care if every other running back is going to be playing in the Pac-12 in this game someday, you know, or a Power 5. I'm going to make the most of this amazing offensive line, and I'm going to show out. And he had over 100 yards on somewhere in the 8 to 10 carry range. So those are two guys I was impressed with. Todd, what about you?
Well, let's talk about the guys that won the game. You know, Josh Wood, I think, is at the top of my list. And to think that a year ago, we really didn't know much about Josh Wood as a quarterback. I saw him at the Northwest 9, which was in the fall, I think September or early October. And from it's just been a very quick ascent. He's gone from unknown to arguably, you know, the best. I mean, he's right in the conversation in terms of the best quarterbacks in the state. And he was, to me, he was the best quarterback on the field Sunday night. And that included Jabari Johnson. That included a couple really talented really talented underclassman, Adam Shacol. You mentioned Dempsey. I really liked, I mean, it's easy. I mean, you look at Ford, FSP and those running backs that they have too. You mentioned the guy at Air Sports and he was really impressive. He had the 71 yard run in the first quarter, but I mean, you look at Jaden Lamar, you look at, Isaiah Carlson, just those guys are just so, dynamic. And, you know, knowing Butch Goncharoff and when he gets a lead, he's going to rely on those guys. And they were impressive, just kind of grinding the game away in the second half once they had the lead. We didn't see a whole lot of Jason Brown, but
O'Day freshman Jason Brown, who was our all-state running back.
Yeah, our all-state newcomer of the year, or underclassman of the year. But we know what he's about. I mean, when you have those three guys in your stable, it's pretty easy to run the football. Those guys are phenomenal, and three guys that we're going to have a lot of fun monitoring here over the next couple of years.
Absolutely. Turning the page, have a really fun interview with Mount Spokane kicker Ethan Machowski. Ethan Machowski is on an absolute tear right now in the kicking camp scene. He just swept at a couple of Chris Saylor events, three events in a row of nationally competitive kicking camps. He won all three of them. He called it a triple crown. He's a five-star kicker, according to the kicking guru Chris Saylor, and he was our preseason and postseason all-state, all-class kicker this spring in the high school football season. Had two 55-yarders in back-to-back games, and I caught up with him just to talk about what that grind of the kicking the grind of the off-season you know, kicking circus is like, going from camp to camp and getting in front of coaches. And of course, he's poised when the recruiting dead period ends in June, just here coming up in a couple of days, to have a really, really big month. I expect him to be kicking for a high level Power Five school at some point, but nice to get to talk to him about pressure and just what motivates him. So that's coming up next. Real quick before we get out of here, more on the national news front. News broke this week that eight elite high school basketball programs, six of those have been announced, will form a super league at the high school basketball national level. They'll have 10 regular season games. They'll have a playoff. Those teams announced already are the you're going to recognize all of these names if you pay attention to grassroots hoops and high level high school hoops. You got Oak Hill, you got Montverde, you got La Lumiere, Sunrise Christian, Wasatch Academy, and IMG Academy. Todd, I saw this news and I thought, you know, this is another example of these teams played each other and formed a little bit of a league during the pandemic when high school sports were all over the place across the country in the return. But I wondered what exactly this means. It felt kind of inevitable with the success of that that league this winter. But do you expect to see more recruits in Washington going to schools like this with this type of league forming? Something, you know, obviously high level recruits. We saw Nolan Hickman, who elevated to a 5-star status with his transfer to Wasatch Academy, one of these teams, helped them compete for a national, in the running for a national title. But do you see news like this and go, hey, I think this is going to be a more viable option, especially seeing the recent success of people like Hickman for top tier basketball talent in the state of Washington?
Yeah, I do. I don't know if it's going to be a heavy stream, but we've seen this trend, you know, marginally increase, you know, over the years. I mean, I remember when Avery Bradley left and went to the prep school in Las Vegas. It's no longer there. Marjon Beauchamp, obviously we know about him. He's now at Yakima Valley Community College. You mentioned Nolan Hickman. Yeah, I think we're going to see one or two guys probably every year leave. Would it surprise me if there were three or four guys in the Seattle-Tacoma area decided to go this route? No, of course not. With the visibility and the money behind the Super League, I think the presence of some very dominant personalities in the Metro League coaching wise I think will also keep kids here. It's pretty easy to stay home when you're playing in a quality league like the Metro League, on a nightly basis. And that Metro League is formidable. So it's going to be interesting to see kids, and especially in the Seattle area, are going to have that opportunity, and it'll be interesting to see what they do. They're going to stick with Brandon Roy, Jason Kerr, you know, Mike Kelly, Brandon Merritt's a former basketball player.
Brent. Come on, man. He just joined our media day. We got the full interview. You're going to besmirch our man.
I think I'm butchering a lot of names today. Brent Merritt. I mean, I think those personalities, as long as they're around, I think, I think we'll still see most of the best talent around stay home.
Yeah, no, and I wonder if, you know, as high school basketball returns, we were supposed to see, you know, that Kevin Durant Classic in the Seattle area with O'Day, and, you know, there's teams out of the Metro League and other parts of the state that are invited to high level basketball tournaments throughout the year. I wonder if, you know, anything like that, if any school will ever elevate to the point where they decide they want to be a national player. And they can consistently win within the state of Washington. Eastside Catholic is trying to be that in football, and, you know, has played a good host of national games. So we'll see. A lot to talk about and a lot to dissect. So we're going to take a quick break. Ethan Machowski of Mount Spokane joins me next. I want to take a moment to tell you about something really exciting for high school sports fans across the country. SB Live Sports has launched a free iPhone and Android app featuring the latest high school sports news here in Washington and across the country. With the SB Live Sports app, it's now even easier to follow your favorite team and tailor your experience to your interests. With real-time scores and news alerts, as well as video highlights, podcasts, photo galleries, rankings, game coverage, and much more, the app delivers on the content you want in one convenient place. The SB Live Sports app features exclusive content from on-the-ground reporters across the country, and it's the number one source for Washington high school sports fans, with coverage from reporters Todd Millis, myself, Andy Bueller, as well as SB Live's preeminent basketball mind and recruiting expert Dan Dickow. The SB Live Sports app is available at no charge in the Apple App Store and Google Play Store. Download it today. Welcome back to the SB Live Washington podcast. Andy Bueller here, and I'm very excited to be joined by Mount Spokane junior, soon to be senior, Ethan Machowski, kicker extraordinaire. How you doing, man?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Of course. Yeah. What's life looking like for you right now? You guys just wrapped up a pretty successful spring shortened season. I take it things are about to heat up on the kicking trail.
Yeah, it's going pretty fast right now. A lot of camps, and just got done with our season, so it's pretty busy right now. The students are going to heat up even more, and it'll be fun.
So we were talking about this a little bit before we started recording, but you said that you're coming off a weekend where you pulled off a triple crown. Explain to me and the listener at large what that means.
So the first weekend I went to a Seattle camp in for Sailor, Chris Sailor, and I won that camp in the field goal and kickoff competition, and ended up winning the whole camp. And then the next weekend I went to a Coles camp, and I won the kickoff and field goal there too. And then this last weekend I just went to the Las Vegas Chris Sailor kicking camp, and I won the All-American Bowl spot. So my three in a row.
Not bad.
I know, it's awesome.
Right on. Well, so let's rewind a little bit. You were in the preseason this spring. You were SB Live's All-State first team kicker. And
that held up throughout the season. All-state kicker at the end of the year too. You had a great junior year, but let's start at the beginning of your high school career, because I'm really interested by this. So as a freshman, you almost didn't even turn out for football. You were a soccer player, a club soccer player, so a serious soccer player. But you ended up deciding late to come out for the football team and kick. What nudged you to do that?
Well, I wasn't going to play in general at first. I was telling my mom it's like too much for me with all the soccer. And so then the freshman year, the freshman coach, football coach, Josh Cowart, he called me on the phone and told me he would let me stay for like practices and just be the kicker for like an hour if I could, and I'd get to leave and go to soccer practices halfway through practice. And then like three games into freshman season, I got pulled up to varsity, and then that changed everything. And yeah, I just started to kick in from there. Yeah. Then I started taking it seriously, and I started looking up like kicking camps, how to improve and stuff. And yeah, I went to my first Chris Saylor camp. It was, I think, in the fall, and I ended up doing pretty well for my class. We were just freshmen. So I got ranked third in the country, and I was really surprised because I think Chris Saylor thought I had a lot of potential from there. And that's when it started kicking up from freshman year, and I thought I might take this to the next level and maybe even swap it out for soccer, or swap out football for soccer.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty rapid ascension there. You come in not thinking you're going to play, and then, you know, here you are getting pulled in late. Like, did you even come out for tryouts your freshman year, or was this?
I went to the June camp, and they were making me do like linebacker drills and wide receiver stuff and a few kicking, but I was just overwhelmed with all the linebacker and wide receiver stuff. I had no idea what was going on, and I was thinking of just not even coming out and playing. So then he told me I could just be a kicker, and then just continued on from there.
That must have been overwhelming at first. But at what point of your freshman year, especially early on when you're kicking on the freshman team, at what point did you feel A, comfortable, and B, confident of like, hey, I can, you know, I'm actually pretty good at this?
I'd say when I got pulled up to varsity, I'd say I was comfortable and confident. My very first game, for freshman season, I hit a 42-yard field goal. And then, yeah, then I thought that I could just make this part-time job with soccer and stuff. So
you're cooking with gasoline right off the jump. So once you did come out, so the varsity team, you know, already had three kickers. You start on the freshman team. By midseason, you're the varsity starter, and you know, the rest is history. Do you wear soccer cleats? Like, is that, yeah? So, because I've seen it, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I've seen it where, you know, the kicking foot is a soccer cleat and the other one is a football cleat or something to that degree.
Some people do that, but I just use two soccer cleats because it's what I'm used to. But yeah, some kickers like have a football cleat as their plant foot to get more traction. But yeah, I just use my two soccer cleats.
I grew up playing soccer. I was always a Nike Tiempo or an Adidas Predator guy. What's your go-to cleat?
I have Superflies, but
okay.
Yeah, I got I don't know. I switch on and off whatever's like looking cool. Doesn't really matter to me.
You gave up soccer your sophomore year, you said. Do you still play ever now? Like, do you kick around?
Sometimes I kick a ball around my house, but I'm completely done for now. I was a goalie for like the academy level, and I think that helped my kicking the most from taking all the goal kicks, because my coach, he wanted me to always like kick it long to our forward, and that's how we would always score goals, because I could just kick it really far. And yeah, growing up, I always had the strongest leg on my soccer team, and I think that correlated to football and helped.
Was that a pretty natural progression going from, you know, especially, you know, you're back taking goal kicks, like you said, and you're probably taking free kicks. Like, was that a natural progression from soccer to football?
Yeah, I think it helped a lot. I didn't even have to switch on to like a block to kick on, like a lot of other kickers had to start with like freshman year, because I'm so used to just kicking a soccer ball off the ground. So it really helped.
Yeah, no, I could see that. Were you ever a finesse finisher? You said you played goalie, but like, were you ever taking free kicks or set pieces?
Yeah, I would take penalties sometimes, but I started out playing striker actually on my dad's soccer team when we were younger. And then,
like, how young? Like elementary school young?
Yeah, I started when I was like probably like fourth grade, and then like playing competitive soccer. And then I swapped teams to it's called Crossfire, the academy team in Seattle. And then I just loved the competition and like adrenaline and all that. And it, like, I don't know, it really helps me under pressure. I feel like that since I'm so used to like being under pressure and goalie and at the academy level, it helped.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, to set that in context for the listener, I mean, Crossfire is the premier club in this region. Like, you know, you're I would imagine at a pretty young age playing in high level tournaments and getting a lot of experience under pressure.
Yeah, we were traveling to Europe and stuff. And
really? Wow. Whereabouts in Europe?
We went to Amsterdam and we also went to Spain, and we did really well in some tournaments over there. And yeah, I just fell in love with pressure, and like that's why I feel like I do better under pressure. I'm like a just amazing pressure kicker now, which kind of helped. Yeah.
Come on now. This is the battle of the bell. This is nothing. I've been to Amsterdam and Spain.
Yeah, I think it helped.
So you finished a really strong junior season this spring, as I said. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a second, but after the season ended, has your recruitment started to pick up?
Yeah, I'd say it has. After I hit the 255 yarders, that's when I started getting a little more looks from colleges. And yeah, Twitter's been blowing up a little bit after those.
What's that like? Like, where, give me an idea, like where you were at, the types of schools you were hearing from versus who you're hearing from now.
I'd say it was more like smaller local kind of schools at the start of the season, because it starts off slow, but then I feel like getting closer to summer, it starts picking up a lot, and it's started like escalating to bigger schools all across the country right now.
What schools are you talking to most? Do you have one that you're really looking at, or have a kind of, you know, a dream school?
Not in particular, but I'm talking to and looking at a lot of great programs all across the country, and yeah, just stay tuned for that.
Okay. It's coming soon. Mm-hmm. Okay. So more on that to come. So you're going to tease it out a little bit. What do college coaches want to know about Ethan Machowski right now?
They just want to see me, I guess. But yeah, looking forward to coming to all their college camps in June, and it'll be really fun and cool and calm under pressure.
Absolutely. Yeah. What are you looking for in a school? Do you know at this point, or are you still trying to kind of feel out the process?
A good relationship between the coaches and football team, and just the right fit for me, like academically, and good football program.
So you, as you said, were at a Chris Saylor camp. For those who don't know, as you've said, you know, Saylor is the kicking guru. He's a star maker. And for kickers who have the drive and you know, and the means, he holds a lot of camps, you know, around the country. What are those camps like? I mean, what is it like showing up to those camps? What's the structure like? Did it take a while for you to get kind of used to that? And I would imagine at this point, you know, you feel probably pretty comfortable in that type of setting.
Yeah. I was pretty nervous when I started out freshman year. There's a lot of kids. There's like probably almost 200 kids that show up to these in the Seattle one I first went to. And it starts off with like a big warm up, and then start warming up with like 35 yard kicks. And then we start moving on to like charting. So it's like, if you make it, you move on back. and you just keep moving back until you like, well, probably to like 50 yards he usually does it to. And if you make all those, he like asks you to raise your hand or whatever. And then after all that charting, he moves on to competition. And it's just like a last man standing kind of thing. So if you miss, you're out. And if you make it, you move on to the next round and move back like 5 yards.
High pressure.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love it. So moving back and getting neck and neck with some other guys, it gets really fun and competitive. But yeah, it's crazy.
Have you gotten to know through that process some other high schoolers in your similar position from different parts of the country?
Yeah, I've made a lot of good friends from these camps all across the country. Like going to he had a top 12 camp in Texas last June that like all the best top 40 like kickers of the country competed for this top 12 spot. And yeah, I got to know a lot of great guys, and it was great to get to know them. But yeah, not this. Las Vegas. Vegas is a little different than the like Washington camps, because this is more like the big competition for the All-American Bowl spot. Mm-hmm. So there's like 2 days of this kicking camp. So the first day is more instructional and he like teaches you stuff. And like you do charting and kickoffs and punt, and they evaluate you throughout the camp and rank you. And then the second day is all just it's an 8-ball field goal charting. So it goes 35 yards to 50 yards on 4 balls on each side. And then after that, if you make a certain amount of field goals, you move on to the like finals later in the day. And depending on how many people made it, you compete against them to kick against them for the competition later. And then if you win, yeah, get all the glory and exposure and stuff like that.
Absolutely, yeah. If you win 3 too, you get to sit here and talk to SB Live Washington on a podcast. So let's rewind to this high school season. You had those two games where you had back-to-back 55-yard field goals. One of those games, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Battle of the Bell, you made up for, what, 10 points?
Yeah, I had 10 points.
Is that a career high in a single game?
Yeah, that was my highest amount of points in a game.
And that's not 10 points in a blowout. That's 10 points in a low scoring, heated 16-9 grinded out rivalry game. The one against Lewis and Clark, it looked like you mishit it a little bit, which is amazing, because you can make a mishit from 55 yards. I mean, what's like a genuine maximum range for you?
I'd say I'm consistent from probably 55, just like, not rushing anything, or yeah, I'm probably pretty consistent from without wind from 55 or 60.
What's your max that you've ever hit?
I've hit a 67 before in practice, but yeah, haven't done that in game. I was joking with my coach that to let me try to break the record of the 67 yarder after the last camp I went to.
Do you feel that out, especially as you've gotten older in the program at Mount Spokane? Has Coach Clore become, have you guys become more comfortable with one another of like, hey, let's, you know, our field position is an advantage now that we have Ethan, you know, this, has he gotten more comfortable kicking with you, from farther ranges? Cause that's quite an advantage.
Like in the Battle of the Bell game from 55, he was like talking about punting it at first. And I was like, but coach, I can make this. And I guess it made him second guess himself. And yeah, he let me take the kick because I think we like gained a few yards. So it was going to be like a 57, but then it turned into 55 and he let me come out there. Cause at first they were supposed to punt, or like the TV said it was the punt unit was coming out, and then the field goal, eventually went out there and took the kick. But yeah, I think like we've got a lot more comfortable, like in terms of field position wise, where I could just tell him what I could make and he'll let me go for it.
How did you feel about this season? Because, you know, there was no state playoff to compete for. But, you know, the GSL is a so competitive year in and year out. And you guys have so many teams with a lot of history between the teams. You know, you guys take down CV this year and take down Meade and, you know, have a grinder game with Prep. And you guys replaced a lot from that team last year. How did you feel about the way that the group you had came together?
I think we made such a big improvement than what we all thought we were going to do before, like summer or before season actually. But yeah, we did awesome. I was so happy that we could like go 5-1. We went, but unfortunately we didn't have playoffs, but that's all right. We'll get it this year, hopefully. And yeah, we came together as a team really well, and everyone made really big improvements and showed on the field.
No question. Yeah, you guys have a quick turnaround to your senior season here from spring to fall, probably quicker than you're used to, anyone's used to. But before then, you have a lot lined up in June. What? Give me an idea of just what June is going to look like. The recruiting dead period is lifted. You can, as you said, coaches just want to see you. What's that going to look like? What do you have lined up?
So I'm going to pretty much every week, I'm going to a different college to kick at their field and weekend, but it'll be really crazy busy during this time.
Which colleges do you have anything set in stone at this point?
Yeah, I got, I'm going to Oregon State, and then the fourth, I'm going to University of Texas in Austin. And then the sixth, I'm going to Clemson's, and then the 12th, I'm going to LSU. And then I think the 18th, I'm going to Michigan State.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, and then the last weekend of June or week of June, I'm going to another kicking camp in Florida. It's called the Top 40 Kicking Camp. Oh, and then I got Kansas State July 30. Yeah, 30th.
Man, you're getting a tour de force of the country. That's pretty cool to be able to, you know, have your boot take you all around the United States like that.
Yeah, it'll be awesome. And don't forget WSU, gotta support the local school too. But yeah, it's gonna be really crazy June.
Absolutely, yeah. I saw your former running back Cannon Katzer had a nice spring game with Wazoo. That was exciting.
It's crazy. I'm so happy for him that he's proven his name down there.
Yeah, and anyone that saw him, you know, put size out of the way, all that, measurables, all that. Anyone who saw him play at the high school level should not be surprised by that.
It's crazy. He did so good for our team. I had like 48 extra points that year.
Oh, is that right?
Touchdowns, yeah.
Okay, last question. So you say that you love pressure. Where did that come from? Before you got into kicking, before you got into soccer, is there anything that really kind of solidified that for you growing up? Any sort of pressure situation that you really found yourself comfortable in?
I'd say it started with soccer and goalkeeping, like penalty kicks. Just like, yeah, I just fell in love with those. I was just really comfortable in that, and I'd always want like penalties, like, or fouls in the box so I could just save them or something like that. But yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the toughest positions in sports to play. So I can see how you kind of earn your stripes there. So, well, awesome, man. Well, we'll have to have you back after the season's up to get an update on how everything goes this summer and just where you're at. So, yeah, good luck with everything this June, man. And thanks for being here. This was fun.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
This podcast is brought to you by SB Live Washington and SB Live Sports, your national hub for high school sports news and information. Subscribe for free wherever you get podcasts. If you do it on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a rating and review to help us best serve you, the listener. You can find our website at scorebooklive.com/Washington. There you'll see news, features, highlights, podcasts, and everything in the world of high school sports across this state. As always, a big shout out to our sponsor, Washington Federal. Thanks to Dan Dickow and Todd Millis for bringing the heat every week. This song you're hearing is by the band Woodrow. It's called So Far Away. It's written by James Schroeder, Carl Johnson, and my dad, Matt Bueller. I'm Andy Bueller. We'll be back next week.